And we welcome you to this CattleCast Extra, Capital Area District Libraries over at Wharton Center today. And we're talking with Kenneth J. Davis, the production stage manager for An American in Paris. Welcome.
Why, thank you. Glad to be here.
So first of all, let's start with something for people who don't know. What does a production stage manager do? Besides everything.
at its very basic, I manage the stage. So anything you see from the cast to the crew, the technical elements, ultimately falls under my responsibility. I have a lot of people who help me do that, but that is basically, you know, my job description is to manage the stage. I work with a company manager who is my partner here on the tour, and she deals with all the business side of things, the finances, the travel, making sure that we get from point A to point B and we get paid, tickets, all those kinds of things logistically. But anything that ultimately has to do with the show, I'll get the email on if somebody's unhappy.
Okay, all right, that's a good answer. How did you get started in this business?
I actually grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, right down the road. Uh-huh. I worked at Kings Island, right down the road.
Oh, fun, yeah.
And I was in my high school plays, like probably most folks were, and I was not very good. I was not very good at being on stage.
On stage, okay.
I was in college and found, you know, this world of stage managing where I get to exercise my artistic side as well as kind of my business organizational kind of technical side.
Okay.
So it all started there in high school, and then seeing shows that would come through Cincinnati as a kid, and I knew I wanted to be a part of, you know, live theater, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I guess maybe a unique thing that I didn't want to be in the movies or television,
right.
But I chose this avenue. And then, like I said, I did live shows at Kings Island, I worked at small theaters, and eventually, you know, it's all a lot of luck, mm-hmm. a lot of who you know, and not burning any bridges and keeping
right.
up contacts. And, you know, I eventually landed in New York on Broadway, and I went out, my first Broadway tour was Cats.
That's a good way to start, isn't it?
Right, the first one, yeah, which, you know, I was just a mere child when I started that. I went out to fill in for someone's vacation for 2 weeks, and I ended up staying for 2 years.
Wow.
And I've been on the road now for 20 years, basically.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, in addition to Cats, can you give us a little brief resume of some of the other productions you've been a part of?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's really kind of been dreams come true. I did, you know, after Cats, I did Chicago, the first national tour of Chicago. Chicago's now celebrating its, 21st year on Broadway this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was amazing because I grew up, All That Jazz was like the first R-rated movie I ever saw. I don't know if I should say that at a library podcast. But then I got to work with, you know, people who had been in that movie and who knew Bob Fosse, the director, and so that was really cool. I did Chicago, and then I did Hairspray, and I had gone to see midnight showings of the movie Hairspray when I was a kid in high school, and then suddenly I was like, you know, talking to John Waters in person on a weekly basis.
Wow.
And then I did Spamalot, and it was kind of the same thing. I had been that guy who had memorized all the Monty Python sketches, and suddenly, you know, I was emailing Eric Idle. So and then I did Lion King for 4 years, and
wow.
You know, I got to work for the Disney organization. So yeah, I've you know, and lots of things in between. Some you may have heard of, some you may not have heard of.
But I mean, the many of the just the top Broadway shows. That's
yeah, I've been
really
very, very, very,
very
lucky.
Impressive. Resumes for 20 years. So there's a thinking that, and it's certainly true, that there's the stage show that the audience sees, but there really is a whole other show behind the scenes.
Absolutely. When you said, what does a production stage manager do? You know, I also often say I'm kind of an air traffic controller. I make sure that everybody and everything
right.
has a place to go, has a way to get there, and that nobody crashes.
Mm-hmm.
So here at the Wharton Center, where we have a lot of space backstage and everything fits and it all works, but we go to some theaters that we have to kind of, you know, adjust and, you know, make it up as we go along a little bit and, you know, think on the fly. And that's the fun of, you know, being on the road and on tour
right.
and playing a different theater every week or so.
For a show, and obviously it would vary from program to program, but for a show like An American in Paris, what is the preparation time from the day you arrive to the day of the first show, number of hours involved for a setup from beginning to end?
We did a 7:30 show on Sunday night in Dayton, Ohio, which finished at 10:15. The crew then spent 6 hours loading out the set, putting it on the tractor trailers that then drove up 75 to come up here to East Lansing. We got on a bus in the morning and slept for a few hours on the bus. And we came here to the Wharton Center on Monday at 2 p.m. And we worked from 2 until 11 that night. Came back at 8 o'clock yesterday morning. And we finished setting everything up. And last night at 7:30, we had a show.
That's amazing.
And that's what we,
that's how it works.
That's how it works, week in and week out.
Yeah. What is the, how many people are behind the scenes? I mean, again, you can look at a program and say, you know, here's who's the in the cast and the extras and the musicians, whatever. But behind the scenes, what's
we
the
have,
number?
You know, we travel with nearly 100 people. We've got 35 in the cast. We travel with our orchestra, which is 13, and then we have our crew heads, and you know, we also hire people in each theater we go to. So we have our folks, you know, our 20-some crew folks, and then we have people who work all the shows that come through here to the Wharton Center.
Okay.
And we travel with a physical therapist to take care of our dancers, you know, and you know, our medical needs, if you will. You know, it's a heavy dance show, so you know, if somebody needs a muscle rubbed out, or you know,
sure.
So yeah, all told, you know, with if you added everybody together, it's nearly 100 people it takes to make the show.
So there must be, in certainly in your 20 years, countless stories of behind the scenes, you know, not even calling them mistakes, but things that come up, technical issues, etc. Are there one or two kind of maybe fun stories that you could share with us?
You know, the biggest part of my job is to make sure that when those things happen that nobody knows, but sometimes you can't help but let everybody know.
Sure.
So I was, you know, and I referenced Spamalot. We had one of the characters was on wires. He was, you know, we call it flying. He was suspended from wires. He was 10 feet in the air. He came on stage and then he did his scene and then he was supposed to go off stage. Well, he was supposed to go off stage. So now I've got a man dressed in a crazy costume, suspended 10 feet in the air. So one of our stagehands, dressed all in black, literally kind of lumbered out on stage, grabbed his feet, and then just dragged him off stage. You know, and it seems like that the audience loves, you know, they feel like they're now part of the event.
Right.
They have seen something out of the ordinary. You know, you can go see, you know, Star Wars, you know, 10 times in the movie theater, and it plays the same every time. But you come see American in Paris or any Broadway show or any live show 10 times, and it's going to be slightly different any times. And sometimes the guy doesn't go off stage when he's 10 feet in the air.
Right. Oh, that's great. Well, tell us a little bit about An American in Paris.
Obviously, based on the Gershwin, actually, it was a symphonic piece that George Gershwin wrote early on when he was visiting Paris. He was an American in Paris. And then became a very famous movie in 1951 starring Gene Kelly. That kind of is the basis of our show, our launching point. It is a brand new musical. It's not the movie on stage. It's a brand new book. Again, we use the movie as, you know, kind of the foundation. And it's set right after World War II in France. And we have, you know, three men in love with the same woman, and el scandalo, and lots of dancing. You know, I say, you know, point shoes, the tap shoes, and you know, familiar Gershwin songs that people know. You know, the Gershwin estate is very much involved. Ira Gershwin's nephew comes out to see us quite often.
Okay.
He's the executor and keeper of all the Gershwin everything, their legacy, basically. And actually, trivia, there's a Gershwin room at the National Archives. Look, I tied it into Library
how
World.
How about that?
Yeah, the Gershwin room, and they take care of that. So, but yeah, it's a love story. It's a work of art. You know, all our character in our show, our main male character, Jerry, who is a GI, Gene Kelly's role in the movie, is an artist. So, you know, the visuals on the show are actually quite stunning. Our director choreographer, Christopher Wheeldon, is a genius in the dance world, and you know, won Best Choreography, the Tony Award for this show. And you know, has created some amazing things on stage. So yeah, it's, you know, I don't want to give away too much, but you'll laugh and you'll cry.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's better than Cats, but I can't say that.
You know. No, well, it sounds like a great show. Yeah. And we should mention tickets are still available on sale at whartoncenter.com for more information on that. Well, continued success for you, because it's, you know, the people in the front of the stage always, you know, get the accolades, but to really appreciate the work that goes on behind the scenes,
well,
I think is something
you.
Too.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
It's great. Thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.